selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Forget those Sunday night blues for a second with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Spingle vibes.
Wow. Hey, best
hey,
friend.
Hey, best friend. I am so glad to see you again.
I am so glad. Truly, actually, so glad to see you.
Yeah, it's really
and
huge.
I'm so glad we're potting today.
Yeah.
And
sort of ironically in the evening, even though we'll be talking about a queen of daytime television.
But who started as a nightlife act.
Yes. And so we're actually kind of being full circle.
Containing her multitudes.
Mm.
We are talking that none other than the grand dame
of,
of
what?
She's not really a grand dame.
But, of lesbian
yeah,
comedians
what if,
on television.
Yeah.
But she's kind of not the grand dame anymore of lesbian
well,
comedians.
She
on
is
television.
Not Ellen DeGeneres.
She is the first Ellen DeGeneres.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Woo. Insert Koosh here.
Oh, yeah. Koosh. Okay, picture
that used
me
to be her thing.
Pulling would... on my chinny chin hairs. Do you remember that?
No.
She would
what
have
are you talking about?
On her daytime talk show that I was.
Okay, I was obsessed with.
I was obsessed with.
I was completely obsessed with
no,
her daytime
I was
talk
obsessed
show.
With.
But how are you watching it? I realized.
On the television set.
Well, okay, that's clear. So for a while in our childhood, it was on at 11 a.m. And then they moved it to 4.
You want to know how I watched
it? To go up against Oprah.
I would say I wouldn't fake sick.
Oh my God. No, wait. This
yeah.
is my entire childhood.
No, I would just be like, ooh, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
So literally I could watch Rosie because it was on like 10 a.m.
I would do the exact same thing. I was fake sick so much I was literally homeschooled. And my teacher was Rosie O'Donnell, Price is Right, and Days of Our Lives.
Like Rosie was so, obviously I think it was this early thing within us that we, you know, we knew we were gay,
mm-hmm.
and she had this.
And
like,
she
super
knew she was
fun.
Gay deep down, but she wasn't out yet.
She wasn't out yet, but she was wearing. Rosie would wear in her daytime talk show. It was like a pantsuit, but like with like a silken baby blue like button up. I remember very like over the lapels.
Very Paula Poundstone, what you're describing.
Well, she originally did have really Paula Poundstone style, like that like insane 80s like full clown. Like she was like mullet. Huge
yeah.
suit, but this was a little more like I'm trying to be like it was a little more
Christine Quinn.
Yes. I was going to say the style of, like, Suddenly Susan.
Former Lesbian City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, for those of you who don't know.
I'm sure they're friends.
They must be, because Danny O'Donnell is an assembly member in, a council member in New York.
Oh, her brother.
Her brother. Her brother is a, I think he's also gay.
Oh, makes sense. Usually, she's from a large Irish family.
Big Irish family. But so you're going to get a couple faggots in there.
From Long Island, though. Not Boston.
Right.
But I mean, the large Irish family, Long Island, greater Boston, it's not. Finding similarities there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cultural overlap, for sure.
But I feel like her suits that she would wear, she probably thought, it's like less Palapanso, because Palapanso was like more full clown, and hers were a little more like, I'm being like a chic, quote unquote, like power 90s businesswoman at that time. It's that silk collar over the lapel.
You're really focusing on this silk lapel.
Well, because it's also so Big Bag Voodoo Daddy. It's so the swing revival.
So that, it sounds like this was maybe formative for your sense of style.
And I mean, her show was like, pre-swing revival.
It was pre-swing revival, which you kind of had a hand in, I feel.
I started the swing revival at age 11. I actually wrote Zoot Suit Riot.
You wrote Zoot Suit Riot. You reintroduced the jitterbug to a generation of youngsters in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I signed the squirrel nut zippers, the Middle East, for chocolate milk.
I remember when my mom bought my brother 6 ska CDs.
The dream.
Because he said he liked ska, and he was going to really like it after that.
You think she went to HMV, Strawberries?
I think she went to Tower.
Yeah, Tower's very mom. They got everything.
It's very mom. And like, I remember the day when she bought me the 50 Cent CD and the Coldplay CD. And she was like, here's 2 CDs for you that I bought.
Which still define your music taste, because you're so global top 50. You're like, I don't have a genre I like. Pop, rocks, everything. Donna Summer, hip hop, dance music.
Okay, absolutely drag me to filth.
I will drag you to filth. Before we get even too deep, so Rosie has a few books. You're okay, probably book are we talking about?
Wait, well, yeah, I'm sure that our listeners are very familiar with the
They're
canon
on Rosie's of Amazon
bibliography. Okay, so Rosie O'Donnell, just to back up for a second, she is a lesbian talk show host, and so she's most known for having this daytime talk show, which was kind of like...
Super fun.
And
pre-Ellen.
I would say, like, she, Oprah, and Ellen, I would have said, are, like, the big, maybe only kind of, like, daytime talk people of the past 40 years. Like, who, like, everyone else is just at such a
right,
lower level.
Right, like a C-list level. Like, Rosie ruled daytime.
She absolutely ruled. And I remember it was such a big deal when they moved her to Florida to go up against Oprah. And I remember my nanny... Heather at the time.
Heather, I'm sure we've talked about her in other episodes, but
aspiring adult film star, Florida ceiling Tori Amos poster, friends with Marilyn Manson, would call him Brian.
Plus size.
Yes, an absolute.
And that's not a. I'm curvy as well.
You are a body positive activist, and so is she. But I remember her just being like, well, you know what? They're going to put her up against Oprah because they want her to be in the big leagues. And you know what? They're both going to lose a little bit of their audience. You know, and she kind of thought it was a bad idea because as someone who wanted to watch both shows, she was going to have to choose and other people would too. And
you're flipping back and forth. And I just feel like the person who is watching at 10 isn't so different from the person watching at 4. You may get like nurses at 4 who are off their shift.
I love this. Like, we're in the conference room at NBC in 1998, and you're just writing a driver's report. Okay, we got nurses. We're getting nurses into the fold.
I'm wearing my silk collar over my silk collar over suit. Huge suit.
Honestly,
we all have cappuccinos.
I don't think there's anything that either of us want to be more than a
90s.
Than a 90s
NBC,
exec.
No, that is
that's
the
all
true
I've ever
dream.
Wanted to be in
and
my entire life.
And we're pacing down the hallways being like, latte, Jonathan, stat. And we're screaming. I'm just like, I would like to renew Suddenly Susan just like for another 6 months.
Absolutely. We're bringing Rosie in. People love the couches. More couches.
More couche.
She would do this thing where she would launch the couches at the camera as it panned to commercial.
Which I'll take any day over just like Ellen dancing to Robin Thicke.
You know, it's interesting that 2 out of the 3.
Why am I pitting them against them? Let's ask that question.
Right. Why are women always competing? Right. Why do we talk about their clothes
right.
when we should be talking about their policies?
Why am I not pitching Jay Leno against Letterman right now?
Letterman.
She also, anyway, she was saying she would do this thing where she would pull on all of her hairs and have also the camera zoom into her neck. And be like, look at this one. She would, like, name them, I feel like.
For a while, she had a, this is just turning to, like, we're just reminiscing about our favorite.
Such good times,
our daytime
though.
Mom who raised us. But it's interesting that two of the big three, as I'm now calling them, are lesbians.
Yeah.
And Oprah is, like, also a lesbian.
Well, like, who else could, no offense.
Ooh.
I mean, rule a daytime
rule
show.
Rule a daytime show, yeah.
We have
not
Hoda.
Some straight woman. I mean, she'd just, you know, she'd just be beside herself. A bundle of nerves.
And of course, Rosie's famous crush on the show was Tom Cruise.
Right.
We are all to believe.
Which is ironic, considering he is gay.
He is also gay.
God, everyone's a fucking faggot.
Yeah. Glass Closet, man. Okay, we have to tell.
We have to talk about this
the book. The
book
is called Find Me. The cover is a matte sheet white, little photo of hands holding a rock.
No, babe, it's a robin's egg.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a key story in the book. Y'all think that's a rock? So just for our listeners, I'll
this
just
is
say,
amazing.
The thing that Lily thinks is a rock is clearly the color blue. It's the only blue thing on the whole cover, and it's very smooth and egg-shaped.
And I am wearing my glasses, so get ready for this. It was published in 2002. My favorite part is who publishes it.
Oh,
yeah,
too.
It seems earlier.
Feels very 99.
It's published by Warner Books and AOL, Time Warner Company, which is just so funny that this is like an AOL book.
Well, okay, but you mean that was like a very big corporate merger that happened? And
well, yeah. Okay, this is so you to be like, Lily, don't you know that was a massive merger in 2000? Stewie. I mean, I just think it's funny retro stuff because this book is so iMac, AOL.
Yeah, it is. No, I mean, fair point. It's a time capsule in many
ways. Yeah, retro stuff.
So this book is not a memoir by any means. It is literally, it's a part dream journal, part psychological thriller.
I would say this book is a full Law & Order SVU episode. It's definitely a Lifetime movie. It's very, that show Snapped on Oxygen.
Yeah, it's Snapped in the way that it's like weirdly like low quality and no one's watching it, but like it's
is on all the time.
It's on all the time and it's like going back and forth. So the whole time like she'll randomly tell anecdotes from her childhood that are like really sad and dark, then it'll like jump into a poem, then it'll like go back to her career as like a talk show host. But the overarching story of the book is like she runs this adoption agency randomly like in her spare time.
Cuz she adopts.
She adopts. That's like one of her hobbies is adopting.
She has these passions. And we learn that, you know, she has this crazy savior instinct. Because so also her mother died when she was very young.
Yeah, which is a central theme of the book.
So I think she started this adoption agency.
To be the mother that she never had.
Yes.
To her kids. Yeah, that's clear.
Absolutely.
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 That's a fair analysis.
And I would say we picked this book up because we were like, we love the 90s. We kind of just like thought it was going to be a memoir and maybe like thought it was me just like poetry and ridiculous. Like, I know Rosie has like crazy dark poetry and is unhinged.
Yeah. Well, because she also, because her post career has been really wacky and random.
With The View and post The View. It's like, we know she's a crazy blogger. So I think we were just like, okay, this book will be totally crazy, but I don't think
nothing
neither of us.
So the central like theme of the book is her talking to this one woman who like approaches the adoption agency, says she like is pregnant and like wants to give the baby up for adoption. And this woman has this crazy
mother and daughter pair, Barb and Stacy.
Mother and daughter pair. The mother brings her 14-year-old daughter Stacy, but she doesn't bring her in. She like calls the adoption agency. The woman is based in Oregon. And then Rosie, like, for some reason, she takes an interest
in this case. She has a tick with it.
Oh, well, she gets a spingle.
A spingle.
Which
so,
we'll explain in. Let me just like, finish
this. You finish, and then we'll explain what a spingle
so
is.
So this woman has, like, had this crazy story. She was raped. She loves NSYNC. She is poor.
Oh, so it's a woman. She's 14.
Sorry, yeah. So this 14-year-old girl, sorry.
Was, like, raped by her pastor.
Raped by her pastor. It's like, really,
so
really dark.
And
Rosie is just, like, so interested in this person and, like, calls her. And it's just like, you know, whatever you need, I'm, like, going to be here for you. And she ends up getting to this crazy phone relationship with this girl, not
and the mom.
Romantic, but and the mom, where she's constantly having these late night phone calls over the course of months with this woman she's never met.
She's like addicted to it. She is married at the time to her first wife, Kelly, just want to say that. And it's like,
who appears in the book, I don't know, twice?
Once, twice. And she clearly says, you know,
absolutely in passing.
This obsession with Barb and Stacy and this woman who ends up having multiple personalities, like, it took over my life and took, like, first place, except for my children and my marriage. And it's like,
okay, you just, like, gave away the big reveal.
We could start over. Do we want to build? I mean,
well, I was going to say, like, with because it does get to this yes. point where, like, you're reading this book and you're like, this is random. She's, like, having these phone conversations with this person. She's, like, then talking about her childhood and, like, her mom died. And then she's writing a poem. And then she's just like, I loved my show. I made all the money in the world, but it didn't make me happy. But then, like, halfway through, her friend Carolyn,
who is totally dry and calls her on her bullshit.
We all have a Carolyn.
Okay.
Carolyn comes over and she's like, you know, Rosie, I think this relationship is a little weird. Have you ever met this woman? And then Rosie's like, well, no, I haven't met her. We talk all the time. And she was just like, are you sure she is who she says she is? And Rosie's like, well, of course I'm sure. And then Carolyn listens to two voicemails.
And she realizes the voices,
so she listens to a voicemail from Barb and Stacy, the mom and the,
right.
and the daughter. And Carolyn goes, these sound like the same person to me. I'm reading the book and I'm like, this book is random. But at that scene, the Carolyn
then,
scene.
Then you were in.
That I was like, my heart, I've been dropped.
And no, paging through this book.
Then I just started tearing through the pages. I sit up till 5:30 one morning. I mean, my boyfriend, excuse me, is asleep. You're not going to light on. I don't care.
So that's when that's when I wanted to ask you, like, when did you think something was up? And when Carolyn says, I think this is the same person, did you believe Carolyn? Or did you have this hope that Barb and Stacy were different?
I didn't know what the hoax was. I didn't necessarily think it was the same person, but I thought she was right to be suspicious, and then I knew. I mean, I assumed it was more hoaxy than what
you
ends
thought
up
maybe
happening
they is. It was like a money thing.
I thought it was a money thing. I assumed there would be some scam ultimately where she was just like, the hospital bill for my, you know, miscarriage or whatever is gonna be $6,000.
I didn't feel.
Which Rosie totally would have sent her.
Well, that's the thing, because in the whole book, like, Rosie is very ready to give money to these people, and they keep on denying
it. But wait, so what did you think when that happened?
I was definitely edge of my seat.
Were you team Carolyn or team Ro?
I was definitely team Carolyn, but, like, a 5% of me was team Ro.
You wanted to believe.
I wanted to believe, but...
Wow. I really, like, didn't want to believe. I was like, Rosie is spending too much time talking to this girl.
Well, I wanted Rosie...
This girl is random. Like...
So what's scary, I was in team Ro in the fact that I wanted her to keep on going with this crazy, and it's just, like, I wanted Rosie to stop because it becomes, like, selfish on Rosie's part, which is what her friends tell her. Mm. They're just like, I don't know if you're, like, even helping this person. Like, you're, like... continuing this, like, crazy cycle.
You think Rosie is an absolute narcissist? I mean, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's just like
she's
full
an insane narcissist.
Savior complex, and it's just like the only way.
I mean, I don't know how you'd be a daytime talk show TV host
without being a narcissist. The best part is also just like all these amazing, and again, back to our fantasy of like being in an NBC like boardroom of like.
Of them trying begging her with like.
She wants to.
Hundreds of millions.
This is all happening at like the height of Rosie's career.
No, literally.
She couldn't be doing better.
No, she's literally the most popular person in America.
And meanwhile, it's like we're there. We're 9 years old. We're watching Rosie. We're loving it. Mm. We're like, I have a cold. And then the moment. That show goes off. She's running to her, as she describes it, Toontown-styled office. And this is a point I wanted to bring up to you. Why are all lesbians, like, obsessed with the Looney Tunes aesthetic?
The childhood thing, I think, is what's happening there. I think it's Peter Pan syndrome.
Okay. More than also just, like, the 80s. It's both.
I think it's both. Yeah, because, like, lesbians love, like, you know, like, backpacks,
superhero underwear,
hot dog wallpaper, you know,
Taz.
It's infantilizing stuff. And even the color schemes, you know, like the bright color. I mean, the couches, right?
It's the couches. So basically her office was like so like neon and like full of denim. I just want to read this page of
But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I'm not, there's a Freudian thing in there somewhere. But yeah, I do think that there's a Peter Pan thing going on there.
Because it's like reclaiming the childhood. I mean, I think, I'm sure like I did that in my like teen style by like being so like Taz and 80s, because you're like.
But I think that was just more you being retro and 80s. And like that was like the style for indie kids to do at that point when you were doing that. Okay. Like you haven't maintained that. And even color-wise, I wouldn't say that you favor a brightly color palette at all.
No, I'm not Toontown.
You like, you know, old men from the 40s and old watches from the 40s. And that's sort of where you live. But yeah, I would say the most lesbian
A lot of lesbians are like, hey, crazy New Balance and like a crazy sneaker and just like bright colors and just like unicorn stuff. Just for a second, so her office, she goes, my office is painted a cherry yellow with shabby chic couches done in soft denim and striped pillows.
That is crazy.
My assistant Mary has curly long hair she wears pulled back with a butterfly beret. There are coolers stocked with Perriers, slim fast shakes, and Snickers bars. In my studio, it feels like nothing can go wrong.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong in my slim fast palace.
I also love that idea of like the Kardashian fridge is like also vitamin water and kombucha and like Essentia.
You love the idea of the Kardashian fridge.
It's one of my favorite things. And when I make it, I'm going to have a beverage fridge.
I mean, you know how I am very like always having 30 seltzers in the fridge. I mean,
I know I do. I have a SodaStream.
I'm not going to lie.
No, SodaStream doesn't compare. It doesn't taste as good. I'm with you, but I'm also like the amount of seltzer I drink. Mm-hmm. I am wanting to cut down on my plastic.
No, I feel bad about the obscene
about recycling. You're pounding through aluminum.
But it's also like aluminum, and aluminum can be recycled.
Yeah, but then you're carrying it. You know what I mean? I pop it in the fridge. I have cold seltzer anytime I want.
Oh, I know what you mean, sister. Yeah. I am lugging those 12 packs from Associated all the way up
the stairs. And you know, I mean, you're on the third floor. I'm on the fourth floor.
Yeah, I mean, but your stairs are much more.
They're like 8 floors, it feels like.
It's absolutely Everest getting to your apartment.
So that's just a sidebar. Anyway, and it's just like this 90s version of this fridge stocked with Slim Fast.
So she has 90s Kardashian fridge. Yeah. You know, the Kardashians, I'm sure, and I'm sure Chris was keeping the house stocked with Slim Fast in the 90s too.
I remember so many other like nannies of my friends. This is before we met. I had this friend who had this nanny who was this, like,
you're cheating on me with other nannies?
This, like, big Minneapolis chick who, like, also very similar, like, loved Third Eye Blind and, like, was always going to, like, the rock clubs and left in the middle of the night.
Oh, she was your Heather.
Yeah, she was kind of a Heather.
She
like,
literally broke up with your family in the middle of the night?
No, not my family. This was my best friend Meredith's family.
Oh.
And it was, like, this huge shock. Like, they woke up and there was just, like, a note being like, I'm sorry.
That is cold. She fucking burgered them?
Burger
Sex in the City, yeah.
And she also, like, lived with them and just, like, it was so, like, crimped hair.
I mean, never trust a girl with crimped hair.
Say it again.
They will walk out on your family, leaving you high and dry. I mean, I'm sorry, but she left those parents without childcare.
She did.
That is wrong.
I just really want to know why.
Mayor, if you're out there, call in.
Call in. She was chugging Slim Fast shakes. It's like the point of that
story.
Okay,
my nanny Sandy Paulette was always chugging Slim Fast.
It's so like 90s nanny who you're like.
I'll tell you, it did not work.
Okay,
wrap that up.
So,
I think
that's true.
Oh,
so Rosie, this Toontown aesthetic, couche thing, it's like, you know, a lot of people say like, I don't know, is that a theory, like, when your mother dies or if you have this experience as a tragedy as a child, like...
It stunts your
maturity or something.
Or it's like something tragic happens and so it's like you are, like, replaying it or something, or you kind of, like, want to stay in that space because you haven't, like, resolved it. And obviously this book is very, like, unresolved.
A lot of unresolved stuff. And being like, let me be the mother that...
That
was taken from me.
By Father Time, by cancer.
By cancer, not Father Time.
So Carolyn kind of like gets wise to the fact that this woman is crazy. And down the line, this woman, like, she's supposed to have this baby. And then she calls and she's like, oh no, like, I'm having a miscarriage. And then the mom is like, yeah, she's in the hospital. Everything's like horrible. And she's having this horrible miscarriage.
And meanwhile, Rosie is like, she's so not suspicious, like, at all after
it's
many warnings.
So 90s,
because,
like, there's, like, no
way to check things.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, calling the hospital.
Yeah. And they're like, there's no record of this woman. And then she finally talked to this social worker in the town, and she's just like, oh, this is someone that we know. Is,
yeah, we're very aware. And of course, they're being like, it's very confidentiality. She calls, it's like not even like a cop or something like that. And they're like, all we can tell you is that we're like very aware of this name.
Oh, right.
It's also insane because it's literally Rosie's adoption agency. And she only checks in with her own adoption agency like months later. And they're like, oh, yeah, this case is like invalid.
You know, she finds that the woman has multiple personalities and they start emailing. And so then later in the book, it's just like all these texts of these emails and the woman will email in her different personalities. And there's...
Oh, wait, back up, though. She finds out she has multiple personalities through finding out this woman's therapist.
Oh, right.
Tina. And the woman, like, basically gets permission from Barb, Stacy, Melissa. These are all some of the identities. Being like, yes, you can talk to Rosie, I guess. And Tina's like, yes, she has multiples, like, horrible things happened to her in her childhood.
Do you know anyone who's multiple?
No.
Same.
Do you?
I don't know anyone who's multiple. But I am a Gemini.
Anyway, and also in this book, they say it's like not a diagnosis anymore.
Oh my God, but I did meet that guy. Remember when I interviewed that guy for the magazine that I founded at NYU? When I took making a magazine class and we started a magazine called Volume.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I have successfully used to get into fashion shows before by saying I'm with Volume Magazine.
Very cool.
And I wrote an article, because I was like, well, the magazine has to have articles, about this guy who was running for Senate in New Jersey, Jeff Boss, and he has multiple personality disorder. Well, he was schizophrenic, which is different, maybe. We're actually going to bring in an expert now.
Yeah, I wish we could, I wish we could get my mom in the line.
Yeah. Celebrity Book
Club. This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
So Rosie grew up, and as we kind of, she'll go, as we said, from just like childhood, we were like, oh, okay, this is a memoir. And then to just like these just like printouts of AOL emails, like in a super bold.
Yeah.
And
it's jarring.
Like, and you're like,
but so is Rosie's mind.
Exactly. Rosie from large Irish family, I would say 8 people. Mm-hmm. Her mother died like very sadly of breast cancer, like when she was like 10.
Which of course later became one of Rosie's biggest causes.
Yeah.
I remember when she was always, she was getting women to go get mammograms, and she had this whole campaign, get squished, and she would have like,
which I literally need to go do. And this podcast is a reminder for me to get my first ever mammogram. So this is just a shout out PSA.
Yeah, actually, like, yeah. Ladies, if you're over 30, get a mammogram. See a gynecologist.
Over 30. So after that, Rosie is like very sad. She's always like running from school, and like is having so many like crazy days, blurry moments. And like,
oh yeah, like when the teacher doesn't know that her mom's dead.
Was like, go call your mom. And she runs out of the school and goes hides under a pool table.
In her neighbor's house. Sneaks into the window, hides under the pool table. And then her brother has to go driving around the neighborhood in a cop car coming in.
Calling Rosie, where are you? Rosie, yeah. Where are you?
Rosie, where are you?
Anyway, and I think the dad sounds like doing the best he could, but was, you know.
But he was also like a distant dad, as many were in the 70s.
Yes. And, you know, the Irish, they're great storytellers.
What was weird about her dad is that he was a defense contractor and worked for Northrop Grumman and was like designing spy satellites in the Cold War and was like so anti-Russian and was just like so suspicious. You know that scene where he would always be saying, they're watching us. They're watching us. The Russians can read our license plates. They're watching us. So he was this just like absolutely paranoid. He was a spook. He was literally a spook.
Well, and I bet he got more and more paranoid after the mom died.
Yeah.
But also the job. But that also influences, I feel like, Rosie's vibe.
Yeah.
Like all of her poetry about Trump.
Yeah. I mean, she's very hashtag resistance.
Yeah. And ultimate woman who's 57 with a resist tattoo.
Yeah. She's got a resist tattoo. Well, as she also, you were just mentioning earlier, she's friends with Kathy Griffin, who's like the most resistance person ever. And who's just like, everyone is a Russian bot to her.
So they came up together, as we'll say in Mark Maron terms, as comedians. So there's definitely not in this book like any like thing about like how she became a comedian. It's very like childhood when I was 11 and sad and kind of dirty. And she refers to herself as a swamp person. Which I think means, like, you're kind of, like, dirty or, like, don't shower a lot or grew up with a bad childhood. Because then she'll be, like, there was another Irish family who were super swamp people who were, like, even dirtier. But then she refers to her assistant also as a swamp person.
I know. She's just like, Jeannie, my fellow swamp person, got me my iced coffee. It's like, that's kind of rude. But okay.
But I get that. I guess, like, we always call me, like, the swampstress.
Well, that's for a different reason.
Right. That's for me kind of just being like a...
That's for you
being like...
Liking to stay in bathtubs so you can eat all day without overheating.
Anyway. So, and then it's just like, I went to BU and then there's just one line where she's just like, and someone told me, which is a Jesuit school, Catholic family. She's like, he told me I would amount to nothing.
What does it mean when a school is a Jesuit school? Like, what... It's like, is your teacher like a pastor?
Or
is,
no,
like, is
it just
Jesuit
means
even
like
a real
it's
thing?
Generally Catholic, I feel like.
It's just Catholic. It's just
yeah,
like
it's
a part
not
of
like
Catholic.
There are nuns.
Right.
I mean, again, don't quote me on.
Actually, every Jesuit school does have a nun.
Yes. Yeah, so,
there has to be a nun on staff.
Because they're always like, well, Loyola is a Jesuit school. Right.
They're like, they do always say that. Wait, is BC is not?
BU, I guess, is...
I feel like BC, growing up in Newton, where BC is, I'm always driving by it, and it's always being, like, being looking
Jesuit
so
vibes.
Jesuit. It's looking way more like church, monastery, like...
That will be a fun little project for us.
Yeah, to sort of look into Jesuit and its meaning and kind of its connotations.
Later. It's so crazy to read this book when... And, like, we're only hearing hardly again about Kelly, and this is a clue, because Rosie's romantic life has been so completely insane.
Yeah, she's been married, like, 6 times.
Like, 70, like, literally 70 times. And, like, and the most recent one was a Boston cop who our good friend Mickey Blanco met at the GLAAD Awards this past year.
Right.
And my question was always, like, how are they splitting their time?
You mean between Boston and, like...
Boston coppery and just, like, her...
And her, like, New Jersey. Well, I feel like when a rich person marries a cop, the cop stops being a cop. Like, Miranda and her little cop boyfriend.
Exactly. And they're still just like, I'm a cop. And it's like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You're a former cop. Now you're a house husband. And I'm sure Rosie is making her new cop wife just, like, do so much.
No, they broke up.
Oh, they already broke up.
Yeah. And last year, like, her youngest daughter, like, went missing and was shacked up with, like, a Tinder guy who was a meth dealer.
Honestly, she's, like, a horrible influence. And when she even talks about her friends, she has this, like, disdain for her friends. Like, her friends are coming over and being like, you're crazy. You're spending too much time talking to this person.
We're trying to help you.
We're literally trying to help you. And she's like, yeah, I have great friends. And it's like, you fucking bitch.
Like, and it's like, at the end of the book, she's like, and I do realize that, like, only you can help yourself. And this was, like, she kind of gets that, like, she was only doing this for herself at the end.
Yeah, but she doesn't
get it, obviously.
But
has no perspective at all.
No. I do love, though, how she fucking drags the Make-A-Wish kids.
So let me pull, I'm going to pull that up.
She's, like, talking about how, like, some of the Make-A-Wish kids, like, you know, I take them to the show, whatever. But there's this one kid who, like, got better and then, like, still wanted to come again. And then and she was like, okay, fine. But then he just, like, wanted to come a third time and, like, get so many gifts. And she just was just like, okay, I have to cut you off. Like, you're literally not even sick anymore. Like, get a life.
Let me just read a passage of an actual, like, conversation she had with, like, a parent. Are you insane? Do you think your son is the only sick kid in the world? You've been here three times already. Enough! What the hell are you teaching him anyway? Your request is totally out of line and inappropriate. So was my rage at her. But I was too concerned with me at the moment. Shocker. I had done my part. I was expecting her to do hers. Didn't she get the script? And this is her imaginary script for how things should go between a dying child and Rosie. The celebrity and the sick kid. It's like, also, imagine, this is Rosie at her big old Mac in her weird craft room composing this as her wife and children are outside. Yeah. Celeb, hi, what's your name? Kid, give name. Celeb, nice to meet you. How old are you? Kid, give age. Celeb, here's some stuff I got for you. Kid, thanks, I feel better already. Celeb, I'm glad you do. Kid, can I take a picture with you?
Wait.
Celeb, sure. The end. My giving is impulsive, driven by a demon who also happens to have a huge heart. The contradiction exhausts and embarrasses me. And it's like, yeah, a demon does.
I really like you just transitioned to horny voice. Like, wait, do you want to read that dialogue back and forth?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It was a little confusing the way you were saying celeb kids.
Okay. All right. Stephen and I are about to read an imaginary script written by Rosie. This is how she imagines all interactions between celebrities and dying children. Should go.
If should the celebrity go. Is behaving themselves.
And the kid. Hi, what's your name?
Steven.
Nice to meet you. How old are you?
7.
Here's some stuff I gotcha.
Oh, thanks. I feel better already.
I'm glad you do.
Can I take a picture with you?
Sure, kid. The end.
And yeah. And then I don't die. No. Or I die a couple weeks later.
Or then you get better and you ask me for more tickets and I scream at your mother.
You scream at my mom for being a gold digger who's only out
after
for tickets.
After Rosie tickets.
I mean, back in the day, Rosie tickets were gold.
I would have loved to see Rosie.
I would have killed.
Yeah.
Would have killed to be in that.
Killed a dying child. Make-A-Wish child.
To take their Make-A-Wish place.
I also want to, just a little shift subject, I want to talk about maybe Rosie's celebrity crush in this book.
Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Her real celebrity crush?
Yeah.
Not
clush.
Her real clush?
Michael, who's your clush? So, blah, blah, blah. This book is about, like, her addiction to the multiples. Blah, blah, blah. Her childhood. And then she'll just be like, a dream I had. And they're all about Angelina Jolie.
I wonder why. I mean, she has good taste.
Yeah, she's hot. The bi icon of the 90s, early 2000s.
Tammy Lynn. Oh.
Angelina Jolie
icon. Tammy Lynn Michaels is also kind of a bi icon.
Not.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Take that back.
I guess I just feel like she did become.
She did become.
Famous.
She did go ahead and become.
For marrying Melissa Etheridge. But I feel like not that many people were like horny for Tammy Lynn. She was like, damn, if I could only get Angelina Jolie and like we could adopt like no one the world hasn't seen.
She could adopt 400 kids.
Yeah.
From every country. Excuse me. On earth.
Though I feel like Rosie's very like, I want white children.
Yeah. She's like, let's sort of keep it.
Keep it Long Island. Let's keep it
Long
Irish.
Island. Let's keep it in-house. You know what I mean? I mean, I do remember watching her as a kid on the show and when Sandra Bernhardt's on the show or something. And she's like, and you know what I told Parker? I said, you know what, sweetie? Some babies grow from the tummy and other babies grow from the heart. And I remember thinking, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, and like, and that kind of like.
I do feel like she did normalize adoption.
She had normalized adoption.
Because like, I don't know if you like had kids that were like adopted.
If I had any friends who were adopted.
I feel like it was always like, she's adopted.
No, it literally was. It was like, actually so shameful and secret.
Yeah, it was,
and
like
it was
Sarah's, oh, well, yeah, she's adopted. But I think I would say Rosie maybe is different in the way of, like, I think Ellen is, like, so, like, dum-dee-dum. Like, all my jokes are so PG.
Yeah.
I think Rosie is a little bit more, like, is friends with Kathy Griffin. She's, like, sassy New York.
She's more of a sassy New York broad, yeah.
Right. It's not, like, such a, like, I'm completely lifting the mask. I mean, clearly she's very troubled.
Yeah, Ellen is more two-faced.
Yeah. And I think Rosie more just probably has a more, like...
She's kind of a brassy. She's just sort of brassy.
Brassy broad.
It felt like she had a lot of heart, you know?
Also, of course, 90s, like, it was not a question of just, like, it was like, she's adopting. Obviously not because she was, like, a lesbian.
Right. No one questioned why she didn't want to do it the old-fashioned way.
Exactly. Even with her crush on Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he came on the show once. And, you know, I was watching as I did most days.
See, it sounds like you got to watch it a little bit more than me.
I'm remembering so many specific scenes. Just and like, he's in the show, and she was fake mopping off sweat as
oh,
if she was
like,
so horny.
Embarrassed and horny.
And just being like, whew. And he was just, like, mugging and smiling and grinning. And you're just like, what on earth is happening here?
So crazy.
Yeah. Two gay people pretending
just
to be straight for America.
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m.
And then they're like, she's like, hey, want to cool down with a Slim Fast?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Spingles.
Spingles. Okay. So. A spingle is a term she tells us early on in the book.
Term that she invented.
A spingle basically is a premonition.
Mm.
It is the feeling on your back when you have that little tingle.
A little tingle, and it goes all the way down your spine.
And it's kind of ASMR-y, but a spingle is truly like being psychic.
But the thing is, like...
Not full being psychic.
Wait. When she psychically knows that her brother's daughter
has
is going to have
cystic fibrosis and it's
before
like,
it's born. And it's like, okay.
A lie is bad.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
I don't think that you knew that. But the other times, it's just a shiver. And it's just like, this is just a shiver, babe. Like, you had a shiver? Okay.
And you had a little feeling? Like, it's not... It's never... Like, she's wanting the reader to be so shocked by her spingle.
Right.
And then she'll tell us the spingle and it's like,
Like, the, like, central spingle of the book is this robin's egg where she finds like an egg that fell out of a nest and she like keeps it.
Her son finds it
or something. Her son finds it and then she's like, I got a spingle when I put the egg in the box and then like it never hatched and that's just the story and it's like, okay.
Oh, but then, no, and then she like cracks it.
Oh, right, to see what's inside.
And like it was...
And it was like a
alive.
Partly... No, it was like... It was
partly
dead,
formed.
But it was partly formed. And it's like...
So you had a spingle that it wasn't just an egg and like maybe it had formed a little bit?
It's kind of just like, isn't that what happens with an egg?
With like a wild robin's egg at all?
Like,
she's like, spingle, it had like a tiny beak. And you're like,
it's like,
I don't know if that is a spingle.
That's just nature, babe.
She'll also write in this way, like for dramatic effect, where it's like, blah, blah, blah. My brother had like a child with cystic fibrosis, period. New line. Spingle.
Right.
Period.
Period. New paragraph. Well, also new chapter. There's 60 chapters in this book.
And the book is...
Wait, literally how many chapters are there?
It's like 700 chapters.
And there's
and
only
it's
200
so,
pages.
The font is so big.
The font is absolutely
that
massive.
That was kind of fun, and I would say, because at first, Steve, you were like, what the fuck is this book?
I was a bit of a naysayer about this book.
And I was like, just keep with it. And it gave me just a general sense of accomplishment to burn through chapters.
Yeah, that's actually a pro tip number one. Yeah, somebody's book club tip.
Yeah.
If you want to read a book and you want to feel like you've done something, get a short book.
Tons of chapters.
Tons of chapters and a big
You're
old
like,
font.
Boom, I'm on page 100 and it's chapter 50.
Yeah. No, you'll bang out like 60 pages in 20 minutes and feel like a goddamn rock star.
Anyway, so I'm just like, I do now want to read Rosie's book about leaving the View, which I think will be like a lot crazier. Well, not a lot crazier, but spicier in a different way.
I think that'll be sort of more of your classic dish.
Crazy dish, Hollywood TV memoir, not like this weird adoption thriller.
They wouldn't
thriller.
Let her write this adoption thriller today. Like, you couldn't, like, I don't think Rosie's...
They? It sounds like she does what she wants.
I think if she went to Random House with this book, they would just
be like,
I don't know about an adoption thriller. Why don't you write about, like, your talk show and, like, the guests and, like, juicy backstage stories and, like, your career and your, you know?
For sure. Because clearly this, like, after...
They wouldn't let you put on these dreams and emails and, like,
no,
there's so many dream segments in this
AOL
book.
Was just given a book to whoever.
Yeah. They were thrown out.
And as they say, when she was so at this like height of Stacey stuff, she was like, they were like, do you want to renew the contract for just like $1 million?
Well, this is, so actually, I think I heard a rumor once that the contract was maybe possibly north of $100 million.
Wow.
For like 5 years or something. But like, and because I remember her talking about it on Alec Baldwin. And he has that podcast.
Oh, that's so good. That's like.
And here's the thing.
And here's the thing. Dun, dun, dun.
And she was like, she was talking about how she didn't renew the contract and like how they were offering her like sick money. And she goes, Oprah money. And then Alec Baldwin was just like, my God.
And she was like, I don't want it because the Stacey multiples thing was like, I really need to spend more time at home on my huge iMac.
Well, you know what it reminds me of now? Like. The fact that we were watching this as kids and she was running home and emailing a person with multiple personality disorder in Oregon. Very Lea Remini.
Oh, being on King of Queens and then going to SeaTac.
Going to Clearwater to the Scientology headquarters and getting audited for 9 hours a day.
Hotel rooms and then being like, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name?
Yeah.
And then like she goes back
to
work.
Diodes.
And Kevin James is like,
how was your summer?
She was like, fine.
It was fun. We went to Florida.
You know, what's behind the Hollywood picket fence?
Oh my God, Lily, that phrase, I'm obsessed. What's behind the Hollywood picket fence? We never know.
We never know. We think, oh, they're so rich. They have no problems.
Right. No. They are actually really abusive to their staff.
They're extremely abusive and manipulating.
And very manipulative to the people in their life.
So please be my Carolyn if I ever get to this point.
Segment vibes.
How does she live?
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
Okay, so what does she wear? We've kind of gotten into it, but, you know, big blazers.
90s for the show, style, I guess 90s style for just, like, her big blazers. I think at home, she loves a handkerchief.
A bandana.
Bandana around her head. She's very bandana while decoupaging.
Yeah.
Big T. I mean, lesbian style, I think she's big gray sweats. And
she's
big
gray
tea.
Sweats. I don't think she gets dressed in anything presentable ever.
No. And if she is going to like an AIDS charity event or a sizzle premiere, she's putting on like a big, weird suit.
Those are accurately the two things she would ever leave her house for, an AIDS charity event or a sizzle premiere.
But like she's obviously not like Bindle and Keeping at all. I feel like it's so.
No,
like,
she's not getting some custom
Bindle and
Keep,
which was a custom lesbian suitery.
She's absolutely having some like big old Macy suit.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like weirdly she's still throwing on the makeup. Like she futches it up a little bit.
Yeah. She'll futch it up for what's it called?
For Amphar.
Amphar. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
We have, if you watch Kathy Griffin's Allegedly. She tells an amazing story about her and Rosie at an Amphar event.
Oh, right. Because they're friends.
Yeah. And I think Rosie is like one of the bigger people that like stood by Kathy.
During her cancellation.
Time, yeah.
And you know who else did? Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. Her neighbor. Kim Kardashian. How does she eat? I mean, I read the menu at Joe Allen's.
Yeah.
It's chicken fucking parm.
I mean, yeah, she's just like, I doubt she's really like, I mean, maybe she's just like kind of evolved in the way that
yeah,
the
I think
national
now,
diet has
yes,
evolved.
I don't think she's chicken parm every night. I did see a video from her Insta of her and her now ex cop wife where she was having her cop wife go into Panera to pick them up food.
Gross. Okay. So she hasn't evolved that much.
No, but I'm sure like she's having a salad from the Panera pickup.
It's like a Panera salad.
Salad on this. I mean, there's a sandwich.
Side salad. Panera is so like mix and match. And
yeah.
Like,
oh my God. They're mix and match.
They're just like, I want a half soup and a quarter sandwich and a side salad and like a half a breadstick. And it's
everything
just like,
is half and it's always too expensive. I hate Panera.
Yeah, I mean,
the only time I feel like I've gone, I went to the one by J Street Metro Tech after I had my root canal and I got like
because they were like, you have to eat like bland
soup,
foods or whatever.
So I got like a tomato soup.
Like a cheddar tomato or something. Yeah.
And it was sat on a second level.
Here's a sad ass boy. Oh God, that's so depressing, that image. You with this like swollen mouth having this sad tomato soup at Panera on the second floor. Oh, it's always so dark when you go to the like second level.
And you're fast casual chain. Like climbing up.
You're like, no, I'm going to be here a while.
I'll settle in.
Let me get planted.
And I'm sure her fridge now has also evolved into a multi-beverage, like, weird. Like, do you think she's drinking muscle milk?
She's also kind of, like, behind the trends, it seems, in the food.
Yeah.
Because, like, this meal is, like, so 80s or whatever. And, like, Panera is, like, kind of so 10 years
Not
ago.
Right.
And so, like, she's probably still drinking a ton of vitamin water, which no one drinks anymore.
She's like, it's good for you.
Right. And it's just,
and it's, like 60 grams of sugar in a vitamin water.
So I think that, yeah, she has a poor diet. Also, like, I feel like Rosie, and can I say something?
And I'm sure the Diet Coke is still going strong.
I feel like I can tell, actually, because she's never actually had really... She's always had kind of ruddy skin.
Yeah.
And I know that's like she's Irish or whatever. But it's kind of like the pallor is like not that healthy. Like, you can tell that she has like a bad diet from her like...
I feel like she is like probably just like takeouting all the time.
Yeah, a lot of takeout. Because she kind of has like adult acne. We're really fucking dragging her.
I just like, I don't see her clearly. She's decoupaging for 8 hours. Like, she's definitely not like we gather around the table and like...
No gather.
It's just like, kids, what do you want? Like, what's it tonight? Chinese, Mexican?
And they're all playing video games in like separate TVs.
Yeah, on like huge rooms. And... Yeah.
And then, okay.
How does she live?
Well, also, okay, so her home, at one point she's like, I live in a big brownstone with pocket doors.
Oh, yeah, and like mahogany floors.
That part was also so fucking like, I'm doing this like,
savior,
poverty porn,
yes.
Where it's like, she lives in a trailer. I live in a brownstone with pocket doors.
And it's like, what's a pocket door?
That's like when it goes into the...
Oh.
Like they... Well, a lot of the older like Bed-Stuy brownstones like have
them. Oh, I see.
Like,
was her brownstone that she's describing here like in just like East Mid or something in a weird way?
Oh, in Manhattan,
like a townhouse? Because she lives in Nyack.
Yeah, I assume she lives in New Jersey with all the other like celebrities in their houses. And she's like so suburban and she's like the most New Jersey person.
Well, Nyack actually is technically New York.
I always
forget
that.
Which is so weird.
But I always like think of
it is New
Jersey. Like, culturally.
And she just has this huge house with like 1,000 rooms and just like, she probably has a weird craft room. And
I do think that it's very, I think it's heavy mahogany.
Yeah, our favorite words.
Heavy and mahogany.
Yeah.
I am picturing the just
big chests, big dressers.
A chest in every room.
But is she also weirdly, because she is kind of this like fag-haggy vibe, Streisand, like are there pockets of a white couch? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like
a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
In a way that does not like flow at all.
I feel like there is a random boa chair. She's like, how fun is that? How fun is that?
It's so that. No, there's a boa chair. There's like a high heel chair.
Right.
But then there's like...
That sounds Madonna. She has a frame poster of Madonna
and
somewhere.
Then it's like marble table, like heavy chest. Maybe there is like a weird, like cheesy live, laugh, love frame.
Yeah.
But then it's just like so like... Laundry hampers and like,
I see a lot of hamper, and it's like it's constant washing of the sweats.
Yeah, hamper central.
Just very like Long Island GTL. Yeah. I feel like she doesn't have pets, but maybe she has a weird Marley and Me dog.
I feel like can I say something? I feel like all of her trail of wives are always the ones with the dogs.
Oh, they come in with dogs and maybe leave with the dogs.
They maybe leave with the dogs. Or they buy a dog during it to save the marriage like 1.5 years in.
So I feel like Rosie is very Lena Dunham this way where like...
She's always killing dogs, yeah.
Yeah, like their savior complex. They're like, we adopted Fluffy and then like you don't know where Fluffy went.
Right. And Dot has passed.
And they're like, oh yeah, we actually, the pain was too hard getting over Dot, so we broke up.
And it actually just really tore us apart because I had to grieve separately.
Yeah, so
separate
I did
grievers.
Dump her.
Yeah. and that's just my grieving style.
So I think basically maybe in the 90s when she was high rolling as I spingled, she had a Midtown East, like sloppy but fabulous but heavy house. And now she lives in Nyack and also just like has so many rooms.
The Midtown house, sloppy, fabulous, heavy. Now, there is a that's a that's description perfect. That's going to get people in the door for an open house. Absolutely. And now she has a bigger, sloppier,
huge,
more heavier,
yes.
like more mixed up decor.
Right. Like a room of
mansion and Nyack.
Right. There's a room with like so much Barbara Streisand and then a room that's all hamper and couch.
No, there's a floor that's all hampers. She's also very, I'm sure there's a room that's like just like memorabilia or something.
Yeah, in like such a Cribs way where it's like her dolls and like so many Rosie frame things. The Seussical poster.
Oh,
the,
for sure.
You know, a View poster, like a League of Their Own poster signed. She was so...
I bet,
we didn't even talk, so I was like, League of Their Own was huge.
Oh, yeah, you looked like you were just about to cry.
Sorry, like, I was like, we are not going to end this up without me saying Rosie as a lesbian kind of movie.
Yeah, that's a canonical, seminal
League
lesbian
League of
film.
Their Own was huge for me.
Did you know you were gay when you watched it?
Probably not. But probably inside I did. I think I was like 9 or 10.
Do you think it made you gay?
I think it was already there.
It was there?
It was there, yeah.
That was like when you went to the pool when you were 4 or something.
Yeah, that was more probably like seeing like hot like counselors.
Yeah.
Like when I was 4.
Yeah, no. Mine was like going into the men's bathroom when I was like 3.
Mm.
And just like being around the stench of men.
That stench of
D&B. And just being like, I can't wait till I'm an adult and I can buy my own movie tickets.
Movie tickets, my own charity movie tickets.
Can't wait to donate to charity when I'm a grown up.
So gay.
Okay, so who are you in the book?
Whew. Okay, let me guess you first.
Okay, guess me, guess my ass.
I mean, I feel like a little bit you're Danny O'Donnell.
Okay, he's not in the book.
Like, I do feel like you're checking in riding in the cop car,
right.
Being like, where are you?
Okay.
I also feel like out of the multiples.
Am I Nancy, the writer?
The writer, yeah, I was going to say.
Who's writing her kind of long-ass emails?
Long ones that are very little more, where she's like, she had a way with words.
Yeah, and it's so like, they're kind of normal.
Yeah, it's more just like, this is the most normal email. So I feel like you're that.
I'm a deeply normal emailer.
Yes.
Almost, some might say, too normal.
No.
Oh, okay.
I stand out of the pack.
Well, I try to
amazing emails.
I've tried to.
You taught me probably one of the best lessons.
Oh, 4 lines.
Yeah, for email. Just be succinct.
Be succinct. How did you say that word?
Succinct.
Succinct.
Succinct. Yes, more lines, less power.
Yeah.
So
no, the shorter your email is, the more power you have.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I identify with Nancy and her normal ass emails. But maybe just because Rosie felt like they were working on her, because it's like I try to write an email that is going to achieve the sort of its intention, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, what's this email need to do? Right. I want to say that you are, I mean, I'm looking at the menu at Joe Allen's and I'm just like,
I'm Rosie.
Are you Rosie?
I think I'm Rosie. I don't think I'm like, I would
but you're
obviously
not like her at all. You're not this like manipulative person.
No,
you're deeply
but
unmanipulative.
Yeah, but I think I could be. Maybe I'm this because Rosie always talks about how like Ro is her and Rosie is TV her.
Mm.
I feel like maybe I'm actually more TV Rosie. Like
you're
I'm
TV
Koosh.
Rosie. You're Koosh. You're pretending to have a crush on Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
so
Barbara Strand.
You're Barbara Strand.
Yeah, well, that was kind of me with Matt Damon. I was like with all my Matt Damon pictures.
Lily's high school bedroom had all these like magazine cutouts of Matt Damon on the wall of him looking hot. And that was like,
there was one. It was like a Vanity Fair photo shoot. It was in a bathtub brushing his teeth, I remember.
Yeah. I mean, that did something for me when I go into your bedroom.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was for you.
I was quite excited by that photo shoot.
So I'm like, I'm fun, Rosie. I'm not like,
I'm not manipulative.
You're not Ro.
You're certainly not emailing at 4 a.m.
No.
In that sense, I'm kind of the Ro.
Right. So, okay, you're Ro at 4.
I'm evil Ro. You're nice Ro.
Oh, God, Stephen. I'm getting really hot. I think I need to take a break.
I'm so steamy. I need to go to the beach for 2 weeks.
Hey, club kids, look. We gotta head to the beach.
We all got to take a little vacation every now and then.
I have a little piña coladas, okay? Podcasting is hard work, so we're taking a two-week break.
To go stare at the cabana boy.
I'd like to sip something that they're serving.
Mm-hmm. Honey, how far does that pool skimmer go?
And we will be returning for the school year.
With?
Our favorite book ever, Terry Hatcher, Burnt Toast.
Burnt Toast. Which really, I think, defined my personality and certainly yours.
And is the reason why we even do this podcast.
And a generation, really. So get excited.
Literally do. And,
wear sunscreen.
Baz Luhrmann, wear sunscreen. Sip, sip.
Oh, wait, that song.
Yeah, and wear sunscreen.
I remember they played that for us once at camp. And it was like...
cool.
Yeah. It was just like, what do you remember from that song? It was like an important thing when we were like 10. And they were just like... anyway, this isn't that interesting.
Have fun at camp. I'm going to an adult summer, a queer adult summer camp in my two-week break.
Yeah, I'm going to a sober morning rave with a bunch of my really amazing human friends. And we're just going to let loose.
But I can't wait to get back to you guys. Read books. I'll be all revved up for my queer adult summer camp. We're going to learn how to make bandanas and how to make super silly socks and how to build fires, and also just a lot about fire safety. This is kind of the end.
Do go forth into your life, and if you get a spingle, feel it.
Feel it hard.
Savor it. Know that something's coming.
All the spingles.
Yeah, spingle on.
Hey, I'm Rosie. Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Bernane, good chick, with editorial support from Hunk of Meat Leon Nafok and Cutie Pie Andrew Parsons and Madeline Kaplan. I don't think she's attractive in a sexual way at all. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. Same goes with her. Good chick, great style, super funny broad. I wouldn't like to make sweet, sweet love to her in a gorgeous hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Just not a fantasy I have, not a fantasy I will have. Engineering by Ferris Munchie. Hubba hubba, is he hot? Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. I used to do the Vegas shows with him. Artwork by Teddy Mamma Mia. Look at that butt. Blanks at Chips NY. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review, yada yada. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. I don't get all this tech stuff.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
again?
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tanner girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.